We're actually in a period of prayer. The Archbishop of Canterbury has called the nation to prayer. Normally, we've done a 24/7 prayer. We decided not to do it this week. But if you would like to participate in a 24/7 prayer, you can go to Penzance to Breathe Communities down there. And they're running. If you go onto the website, I think we've got the details in the notice sheet. You can sign up for a slot or just head down. So if you want to come partner with the guys, Karen and Murray, down in Penzance, that would be a wonderful thing to do if you can. Three team are going to be just leading this next part of the service. And I pray that we would have really ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Do you remember at the start of this series, we prayed together as a church. We stood and we said that Zechariah is, you know, that we would receive the spirit of grace and supplication. That we would become the house of prayer that God has called his church to be. And so I'm really, really excited, and I've been enjoying these sessions on prayer. And I'm glad the guys are coming just to sort of open our eyes a little bit, encourage us in terms of the whole area of intercessory prayer. So Rosie, over to you.
So we've been talking about who do we pray to with Matt, worshipping and recognising God for who he is. We heard from Murray about why, and Matt, last week we heard about using the Lord's Prayer, and Angie challenged us to use it every day. And so now we're going to look at intercessory prayer. What is it? So this is not my words. Asking God for the needs of other people or other situations, as opposed to asking God for our own needs, which is petitionary prayer. So dictionary definition comes up with intervening or mediating between two parties as the equal friend of both. I quite like that idea, equal friend. Capturing the heartbeat of heaven and declaring or praying it into my world, its true agreement with heaven. And that's Benny Johnson from the Happy Intercessor. So we're going to, first of all, hear what this means to a couple of our intercessors. So I'm going to ask Sue and Nikki to come forward and share.
When I thought of intercessory prayer, a person came to mind, a person in the Old Testament. I don't know about you, but if I say intercessory prayer, you might go, woo. And I wonder what picture comes to your mind. I immediately thought of Moses, the leader of God's people, the man that God chose to lead the people of Israel out of slavery and into the promised land. And he was a man who knew God. It says in the Bible, he knew him face to face, and he spoke to him as a man speaks to his friend. He had that intimacy with God. And he identified with the people of Israel. He cared about them. And for 40 years, as he led them in the wilderness and out through all the battles and into the promised land, he interceded for them. 40 years. When they messed up, when they disobeyed, when they rebelled, when they grumbled, when they saw all that God had done, Moses was the one who interceded for them over 40 years. And he was bold in his intercession, the things that he asked God, because he knew God as his friendship that he had with his God. To me, he seems like the true intercessor, the model of intercession. And as I thought about what to say today, a passage immediately came to my mind in Exodus about Moses. I'm going to read it to you. It's from Exodus 17, verse 8 to 13. This is about the battles that the Israelites faced as they were going into the promised land, and they had a lot of battles. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. And I just thought that was a really powerful, powerful picture of intercessory prayer. The physical battle was going on down in the valley with the Amalekites and the Israelites, but the spiritual battle was going on the hills above. And as Moses held the staff of God in his hand, that staff, which was the symbol of God's presence, of God's authority, as he asked God for victory, as he lifted his arms hour after hour, the Israelites prevailed. They were winning. But as soon as he lowered his arms, the Amalekites started winning the battle. Intercessory prayer is hard work. It was hard for Moses. But Moses, as he prayed and asked God for the victory, he could see what was happening in the valley below. He could see the victory that was taking place as he asked God, as he pleaded with God, as he interceded. He could see the victory that was happening through his prayer. We can't always see that as we pray. We walk by faith and not for those hours until sunset, the battle would have been lost. And I think that's a lesson for us all. The victory in the valley was won by the intercession on the hills. I think that is a lesson for us all. And many times Jesus taught, I was thinking of his teaching when he was in the upper room just before he went to the cross. Jesus had a lot of things to say about prayer to his disciples, and he talked a lot about asking. Moses was a man who asked God for things. He was bold in asking God for things, and I believe that God wants us to be the same. Jesus said to his disciples, you can do whatever you ask in my name. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. My Father will give you whatever you ask in his name, with all the power and authority that we have as God's people. And I just thought about that Moses had the staff of God as his authority, but we have God's name. We have influence situations in our own lives, in family, in work, and broader around the world. We can influence those situations by our prayers, by our intercession. Jesus said, if you ask, I will do. And sometimes we don't receive because we don't ask. And the implication that if you ask, I will do, is that if you don't ask, I won't do it. And that's really something, that God chooses to act through the prayers of God's people. That's the way he works in the world. And one day, a man came up to Brother Andrew, one of my heroes, founder of Open Doors. He has lots of interesting things to say about prayer. And this man said to Brother Andrew, it's not our place to tell God what we want him to do with his world. It's not our place. And that's how he described intercessory prayer. And Brother Andrew said to him, in his Brother Andrew way, why not? Why not? Jesus invites us to do just that. He commands us even to do it. We need to be bold in our asking. He said, in the realm of prayer, there are no impossibilities. As we're bold in our asking, in the name of Jesus, there are no impossibilities. And just a few thoughts about the other things I thought about that passage in Exodus, about intercession being hard. It's not an easy path. That Moses, he was hours on the mountain. Until sunset he was praying and lifting up his arms, which I can't do at the moment. I can do this one, but I can't do that one. It was hard work. But the battle was won because he pressed on and he pressed in to that victory that would come as he did what God asked him to do. And often Jesus commends us for our perseverance in prayer. The parables he taught were about perseverance. There are several parables about asking, seeking, knocking, and the door will be opened. John Wesley once said, I have so much to do today, I'll need to get up 2 hours earlier to pray. I wonder if we think like that. If we've got a lot to do, do we need to spend more time praying about it? Because we've got an enemy who would try and stop us from doing that. And true intercession, it is a sacrifice of time and energy. Jesus spent much time in prayer. Even though he was so busy, he often withdrew to pray. He spent all night in prayer, often times of prayer, and that was the key to his success. And it's, I would suggest, the key to our success in the Christian life, to be fruitful. As I said, Moses saw the results of his prayer. We may not, but that doesn't mean we stop. We keep on pressing on. And I wonder, it made me think, would we pray more if we could see the results as Moses did? I'm sure it would. If we could see the results, it would make us pray more. But we walk by faith, not by sight. And if we say we're too busy to pray, we're too busy. It's discipline and sacrifice. And I thought we always seem to find time to do what we really want. I do. We'll always find time to do what we really want. And if we really want to do what God wants us to do, we need to spend that time in prayer and not give up. I wondered if Asiya Bibi, the lady who was imprisoned in Pakistan for the Christian lady imprisoned for blasphemy, imprisoned for 8 years. I wonder if she'd be free today and living in Canada with her family if people, Christians around the world, hadn't prayed faithfully for her for 8 years. Would she be free today? Would the Berlin Wall have fallen if there wasn't a campaign of prayer by Open Doors? 7 years of prayer, they prayed for the communist world and for the wall to fall. And at the end of 7 years, it fell. So we need to keep on praying and not give up when we don't appear to see things happening. Things are happening in heavenly places that we don't know. And also the story in Exodus, one more thing that struck me about it, that Moses wasn't on his own as he prayed and interceded. He had the support of Aaron and Hur. They came alongside him, and when he got tired, they held up his arms. And I thought it was a lovely picture of Christians praying together. It's good to pray on our own, in our secret place. But Jesus says, when two or three come together, I am there in the midst. And there's something about when other Christians come and be difficult and you can't seem to see the answer. It's hard to pray alone. Who finds it hard to pray alone sometimes? But when somebody else comes alongside you, it makes a difference. Others can bring encouragement when we're feeling weak, as Moses was, to lift up our arms in prayer. And when we find it difficult to pray and difficult to intercede, which it is, it's hard. We can ask God to give us that spirit of prayer. If you want to go deeper in our prayer lives, ask him to give us that spirit of prayer. He says, ask. ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And this is the prayer that God longs to answer. He's our Heavenly Father. He longs to answer those prayers of our hearts to go deeper with him. There's a man called Andrew Murray, not the tennis player, not the tennis player, but a famous preacher, who once said, God rules the world by the prayers of his saints. Prayer is the power by which Satan is conquered. I'll just read that once more. I just thought it was so pertinent for today as we think about intercessory prayer. God rules the world by the prayers of his saints. Prayer is the power by which Satan is conquered. And your prayers make a difference. They do make a difference. When you feel like giving up, press on. Keep asking, keep going, and you will see your prayers answered. Your prayers make a difference.
You might be listening to this today and maybe you think, well, prayer is just hard work. Maybe you aren't in that place where it's an easy thing to pray on your own, or you hear Sue's heart for persecuted church or other nations and that, and maybe you just don't have that. You don't really connect with prayer. And I'm just so aware that obviously in this room we are such a diverse group of people. We come from different backgrounds, different experiences, different depths of maturity, of Christianity, of knowing God and where we're at. But what one thing I do know that unites us and connects us is God's word. And I think this morning what we've heard a lot of in worship and in our prayers and how we've started this service is the power of God's word. And that's what connects us. That's what is our surety. And for me, I'm just going to share a bit of my connection with prayer and why I have such a heart for prayer and where it came from. And I hope that can ignite something in you. If you can just take a hold of a little start, even wherever you're at, maybe you are a big prayer warrior. Maybe you're not. I don't know. We're all in a different place. But so all I can share today is where my heart for prayer started and why I do go on a Thursday to pray, because it's just something I've really connected with, and it's only because of a journey that God took me on. And I brought my Bible to show you today. This Bible is falling apart, and I love this Bible because it reminds me of the start of my journey into just a deeper connection with prayer, I guess. And because this Bible has been knelt on in fields, and it's what I hold on to. It's a firm foundation. And no matter how you are feeling or where you're at or what you're struggling with, you might think, well, I'm numb. I don't feel like praying for anybody else. I don't care to pray for anything else. I've got my own stuff I'm dealing with. I'm stuck. I'm here. But this word, and this is where you start. And it can seem overwhelming. It can seem daunting. It can seem this is a lot. And I hear other people speaking, and they've got knowledge. They've got whatever. But I don't, and this is where I'm at. But you just need this life in God's word, and we have to trust that and hold on to that. So for me, my journey began on a field. And it was in Zimbabwe, and I was just in a place. That's a picture of one morning on that field. And how I came to be there is, I just got fed up of being in the place that I was, being stuck, feeling like I wasn't going anywhere, just hungry and wanting more of God. And I've known God all my life, but just fed up of just not having that connection. And I think you go through seasons in life, obviously, where you do feel it and where you do feel stronger and closer to God, and then other times maybe things have knocked you back and you don't. But I had met with somebody that we know at a shopping center, and we were just talking, and he had mentioned how they used to pray. They used to wake up and gather together somewhere early in the morning and pray, and they had stopped and hadn't been doing it for a while. And I just said, I would love to do that. If you do that again, I want to come. And you know, it just takes a little moment like that. It just takes something, that something in you that wants to move forward, and you find that you meet somebody or somebody says something. And for me, if your heart is hung, you do find yourself hearing something and it stirs that hunger. To me, I would say, just jump at it, just follow it, just go with it. Even if you don't feel like it, even if it seems small, and just take the little steps. Because I think God, that's how he leads us. He leads us just by those little steps. So anyway, this guy, he messaged me and he says, we decided we're going to meet again. So do you know, this is where we're going to be on the field. And so we used to go just once a week, just on a Tuesday morning at 4 or 5 before the sun came up. And we would all arrive individually and just pray, just go onto the field, and we would walk and we would pray on our own. And then at the end, we would come together and we would just pray together and just kind of share what God had said to us in those moments on the field. And when I say said to us, it's not like you might think, well, I don't hear from God. It's not like I walked on the field and there was God's booming voice speaking at me, but it was just what in that moment of walking on that field I felt in my heart, and we would just share those things. And you know, it was an act of obedience. And I think so much of this walk and of taking a hold of this word is just that. It's just deciding, I'm going to obey this. Well, what have you got to lose? You've got so much to gain. And we know that in our heads, but why? We have to just follow that. We have to do it. So this picture was just one morning. That's what the sky looked like. And it was, I took that photo, and for me, it's almost like an altar. You know, in the Bible, when they would come to a place and they would build an altar. And for me, that's something I can always go back to. And that's, it's like an anchor for me, that's where he took me into. And it was just walking on the field and just saying, right, I'm here, God. I'm here just to meet with you. I haven't got an agenda. I'm not coming to pray for anything in particular, but I was just hungry, and I just want to hear you. I just want to know you. And so I would just walk on that field and just pray, because it's faith. It's an act of faith and obedience. I am doing this because you say so. You say ask. And it's challenging God at his word, isn't it? It's saying, if you say that, does are you a liar? Are you my maker? Are you my creator? Do I believe what you say? If I ask, will I receive? And so I'm going to do it. And I'm going to challenge you at your word. And I think a lot of intercession is about that. It's taking God at his word. It's taking God's word to him and saying, God, we're bringing this to you. This is what you say. And we are saying it because you say we must. And this is it. This is what connects and unites from today. This is what connects all of us. And if you can just pick it up, and even if it's just one sentence that you hear in a song in church, one little gem that, I mean, someone can read a whole passage of scripture, and your mind might switch off. Maybe you're not in a place where that's easy for you to absorb. But in there, if you can just keep your ears and heart open and say, I want something. Just, I think it's just that place of hunger. And God honors that. Just that obedience. And he then leads you out. And it is a journey. It's little by little. And anyway, God took me to a high place, to the mountaintop. And when I stand here today, I can honestly say I don't feel like I'm on that mountaintop anymore. I feel like I have a gear that I can speak of where my prayers were effective and I could see them. And I knew when I prayed God was going to answer. And I saw it. And I saw him answer prayer. And I saw breakthrough. And then you expect it always to be that way. But then life comes along and it knocks at you. And the people in your life and circumstances and situations, it taps at you, and slowly you find, oh, this isn't so easy anymore. I'm not hearing. It's not as clear. Like, where did you go, God? But you know that core, that anchor, that strength is still something I can go back to. And now I can say, it doesn't matter how I'm feeling. It doesn't matter. Because my hope and my trust is in God and his word. And so when we get together to pray, I go to pray. And I find I can easily pray for other people. And mine might not be feeling it myself. I might not be seeing what I want myself, but I know God will work those things out for me, and he is working those things out for me. But I can pray in faith for other people because I know where that comes from. I know where that comes from. And so often on a Thursday, we'll get together and we'll say, right, there's this need and this, and we're praying for this and this, and we put them all out there. It's just so much. It's just too much. But then we say, all right, let's pray. And someone will read this. It will be something that we read that morning or something on someone's heart. And this is where our faith comes from. This. And as soon as we do that, your prayers come from that place, because you can close your eyes and say, God, we know you here because you say where two of us gather, you're in the midst. So we know you here. We know that your spirit is going to lead our Holy Spirit to lead us. And Jesus said, I have to go away, because if I don't go, I can't send you a counselor, the Holy Spirit, to be with you. He knew we needed the Holy Spirit. And he said, the Holy Spirit will show us things to come and will lead us and will guide us. So when we bow our heads to pray together, those scriptures are there to hold on to, and we can hold God to them. We can say, God, you say. So we know you're here, and faith comes by hearing. So we hear that word, we hear that word, we hear, and it fuels our faith, and that's where we pray from. And so that hunger and that faith, it's fueled by God's word. And so I just want to encourage you, wherever you're at, however you are feeling, however educated or uneducated, or however you feel today, whoever you are, we are all God's children. And he knows each of us. He knows where you are, where you've come from, why you are where you are. And it's not about us comparing. It's about us connecting. And it's so easy for us to compare. It's a comparing world, isn't it? We compare ourselves with each other, and we think, I'm not there. I'm not good enough. I don't have that background. I don't come from that. But it's not about comparing, it's about connecting. And this is what connects us. This is why we're all here today. And each one of you came here today because this is what we believe. And so I guess what I would like to just, if I have a moment, is just I would listen to Matt's last sermon on prayer, because I wasn't here that day. And at the beginning, when Linda shared and everyone shared after the prayer walk, and I just want to remind us of that. I just want to recap, because I think this, for me, this is intercession. This is the things that are on people's hearts. And what I would say is, that's, start there. Start with those things. If you are feeling these things, if you have been given this impression and this word or whatever, just let's pray. And so I'll just remind you probably all knew, or some of you weren't here, but Linda talked about the pressure and darkness that she felt at the courts. So God impresses things on our spirits. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's God. That's God saying, I'm impressing this on you for a reason. Pray about it. And Matt talked about mental health issues, how he felt that after the loss of that girl. And then Callie, she had that scripture, walk in the light, and about fellowship and how that cleanses us from all sins. That's in Callie's gut. It's in her spirit. Let's walk in the light. And Liz shared about praying on the train for people and just feeling that communing with God. And there was another gentleman, I didn't get his name, but someone who decided to go on the prayer walk, and even though everything was busy, and he just decided, oh, he should go, and he just obeyed that and went. And you see, that's that obedience. That's what we've got to go with. We've got to get up. We've got to go with these things. And I always remember the one morning I remember waking up, and I just, in my head, I was explaining why I didn't want to go to the field that morning. It was just cold, and I just thought, well, I don't have to go every time. And then I just heard two words, and just go to the field. Just go to the field. It was like, is that me telling myself off? But I just thought, no, I've got to go. And I got up and I went. And I think that was this morning. And I wrote under that caption on that photo, I wrote, it's a new dawn. And for me, that day was a new dawn. And you know, the people that I met to pray, there weren't a lot of us, it was just a few, but one of those guys, after that time of prayer, he actually went through such a difficult journey. He had to have a kidney transplant, and I mean, it's a long testimony I could go into, but even for us, we left Zimbabwe, we left our home, and those moments on that field, God was preparing me. He was preparing that man for what lay ahead, and the journey ahead wasn't easy. But when you're obedient to pray, you don't know what God's preparing you for. You don't know what He's strengthening you for. You don't know what lies ahead. And we can live in the now, and we can just go along and just think, oh, I'll say a prayer now and again, but you don't know what lies ahead. And when those times come, God knows that they're coming, and He knows how to prepare you for them. He knows how to give you the strength that you need. He knows how to put inside of you the anchor that you're going to need to hold on to. And so, yeah, I just want to encourage you with that. Just start somewhere. Start where you are.
First of all, though, thank you to Sue and Nikki for sharing so honestly for us this morning. One of the thoughts that came to my mind, I'm a teacher by trade, and teachers tend to repeat things an awful lot. And my thought was that you're going to hear things, and I think you already have, things that have been said over the previous weeks, and I suspect I will also say things that you've already heard. And if you are hearing them for the second or third or fourth time, it's possibly because they're important things. So take them away, remember them. So first of all, we need to remember that intercession is prayer for other people and for other situations. We need to be aware of hearing God's heartbeat for situations if we're to pray according to his will. We need to beware of praying to our own agenda instead of partnering with God. We pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, not mine. When we pray, as we've seen, it changes things on earth. When we pray for God's kingdom to come, we're looking for God's name to be glorified. We've already seen that our prayers go where we cannot. And we can't, as Moses, always see what effect they have. So are we able to say amen to God's will rather than God saying amen to my will? Do we look for God, to God for answers? Do we listen out for that gentle voice that Nikki was speaking about? And I too'd like to encourage you, because intercessory prayer isn't just for the few of us. I believe intercessory prayer is for everybody. And we have instructions from the Bible. So Jeremiah 29:7 says, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin." And it's not only the Old Testament, but it's the New Testament as well. And we see in Paul's letters, Colossians 1:9, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the scripture gives." Do you pray for anybody like that? And 2 Thessalonians 1:11, "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you." So do we pray for our leaders? Do we pray for our nation, our work, our family, our church? Paul says to Timothy, "I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness." Matt reminded us that at the beginning of our prayer time, we need to claim God for who he is. And if you haven't already found some scriptures to do that with, here are some that you might find useful. 1 Chronicles 29:11. "Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, and the majesty, and the splendor, for everything on heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all." Psalm 59:19. "You are my strength, I watch for you. You, God, are my fortress, my God, on whom I can rely." Another Psalm 89:8. "Who is like you, God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you." Jeremiah 10, 6. No one is like you, Lord. You are great, and your name is mighty in power. And then, of course, there's the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And if that's not enough, there are plenty of Bible apps, searches on the internet, etc., that will give you plenty more ideas. Greg reminds us that God wants to spend time with us even more than we want to spend time with him. I like that idea. He likes spending time with us. He likes it when we get down. He doesn't get bored with us. He loves it when we go to the room and shut the door. And somebody reminded me that he's actually waiting there for me to join him. And that's you too. As you go to your special place, he's actually already there waiting for you with a smile on his face. And if you haven't found that place yet, I really urge you to find it. It's priceless. Make a list of the people that are important in your life and pray for each of them. As you become aware, with your listening, you'll hear family, colleagues, church family, Matt and the leadership team. Pray for the day ahead, the people that God will bring you across. On my drive to school or my drive to wherever I'm going, I pray for the people that I know I'm seeing during the day by name. I don't know what their needs are. I don't know whether my prayers make a difference, but I believe they do. How about setting up a prayer calendar for yourself? A weekly one or a monthly one? And what about praying for the people who might come into your life in the future, as well as those you already have? If you've got children, do you pray for their future husbands and wives? The situations that they are going through today, it may be that nobody else is praying for them. And what about their children? We may never know until we get to glory that the difference that those prayers make. I was looking at our family recently, and I strongly believe that my paternal grandmother, that would be my father's mother, I never knew her. She died before my parents were even married. She was the daughter of an apparently very fiery Baptist minister in Glasgow. But I believe that she prayed not only for her two boys, my father and uncle, I feel that I have been given that responsibility to keep that going, to pray for my grandchildren that I don't have yet. So far, I've got one son-in-law. And he now knows that I was praying for him long before he met Eleanor. Even though I didn't know who he was, God knew. And God knew what he was going through. And I have to say, I found myself wondering what that minister and his wife would be making of today. Especially if I told you that this morning my sister is also preaching in her church. So how do we pray? Pete Gregg's game got some wonderful advice. Keep it simple. Keep it real. Keep it up. So keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Use simple words. God bless. God help. God help me to pray. And if you can't find the words, that's okay too, because God knows that you are praying in your heart. Let God know that you don't know the words. He knows and understands. And if in doubt, go back to the Lord's Prayer. As Angie reminded us last week, we can pray the Lord's Prayer over situations and concerns and people. And that's one really simple prayer. Keep it real. Think about the Pharisee and the tax collector at the church, and the Pharisee with his long words, and the tax collector at the back. Stood at a distance, he would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. We have to be honest in our prayers. If it's a bad day and we don't like it, tell God. He knows, but he loves to have you tell him too. I had a situation a few years ago. My second son was in hospital. He had a biopsy and was later diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. But following the biopsy, he didn't breathe when they brought him out from the operation. And he ended up in intensive care. And I didn't understand what that meant when I was first told until I walked in and saw him with tubes everywhere. And we spent some time with him, and it was evening. It was late. And I know some of you have heard this story before. But it came the time that we needed to go. We couldn't stay there any longer. And I can almost visualize it. I had my head down on his bed alongside him. And I was praying in my heart, God, if I go now, who's going to carry on praying for him? God lifted my head. And that intensive care unit was absolutely full of praying angels. And I went home that night knowing that they were interceding for him and that I didn't need to worry. I slept that night. And I think if I hadn't seen that, I don't know that I would have had a wink's sleep at all. I'll keep it real too. We need to ask God to break our heart for what breaks his. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. Jesus wept as he stood at the grave of his dear friend Lazarus. It's okay to weep in our prayers. It's real. And keep it up. You've already heard an awful lot today about the battle, the persistence. And I love that picture that Matt had of the tunnel. And you've already heard also today about the Archbishop of Canterbury's prayer initiative, Thy Kingdom Come. This is now the fourth year. It started off with five cathedrals on one day. And it's now a global prayer movement. And during those 11 days, we have been encouraged to pray for five people to come to faith. To pray for them every day. So do you have family, friends and neighbours that you could pray for? It's not too late to start praying for them. This was just what came up on the first day. Pray for five friends to encounter Jesus in all his grace, challenge and love, and that they might say with Paul, "For me to live is Christ." So to sum up, we need to approach God our Father in heaven. We need to sit at his feet. He delights in us. And the apostles understood the importance of prayer and asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And don't worry if you find it hard to start with. Even Peter fell asleep. It's not about faith. It's not if you pray. It's when you pray. And then. Use the word of God as a prayer list. Use words from the Bible, the Psalms, Lord's Prayer, prayers of the prophets and the saints. As Nikki said again, the Bible is full of them. I didn't bring mine up because I thought I'm going to get completely confused if I'm flicking backwards and forwards. So I had the words written down that I wanted to use. And turn what you read into a conversation. Conversation with God. Make a list of those prayers that you find helpful and useful. Pray the promises of Scripture over your family, your friends, your workplace, church, city, nation, the world. Engage with the heartbeat of God. Listen for it and you'll see breakthrough. Ask him to break your heart for what breaks his. Pray for heaven's agenda and lay down your own agenda. Prioritize and thank God when he answers your prayers. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our minds to understand, and our hearts to receive. and to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.